good morning. My name is Dave. Good morning to Blend. Good morning to Amped and Roane County and Bearden. Glad you guys are with us this morning. And I have to tell you, I'm really excited to be up here to be teaching today, as we are going to be looking at a passage this morning that challenges me, it encourages me, it gives me hope. And I hope as we walk through this passage together that it's the same for you. We are going to be in John chapter 15, so if you have your Bible, you can open up to John chapter 15. If it's on your phone, go ahead and turn that on. John chapter 15 is where we're going to be. In 2008, Marissa and I, in the midst of a housing crisis, we decided to purchase our first home, and it was in San Diego, northern San Diego, and it was a short sale. Now, short sales were really big in California. There was a whole lot of them, and short sales meant that the people couldn't really afford the house anymore, and it hadn't quite been foreclosed on. But this house that we were buying was a short sale, and nobody had lived in it for months at that point. So the whole yard was just garbage. I mean, the whole thing was just trash. If there was landscaping, it was so completely overgrown or dead. Now, there was a little tree. Actually, it was a decent-sized tree. It was an older tree that was sitting out in front of the house. And after we closed on the house, we began to water the tree because the tree was almost dead. It looked horrible. It was a pathetic-looking tree. And so we started watering this tree. And we realized that, hey, look, that's actually an apple tree. And so we just continued watering that tree, and it started growing apples that first apple season, but they just weren't that good. And it was kind of mangy, and it was really gross looking. And Marissa and I were talking, and we're like, we think you have to prune an apple tree. And so I went to a good friend of mine, YouTube, and I looked up, how do you prune an apple tree? And so there was a video, and he was from England, and he had an English accent, so automatically I trusted him. And so he began to talk, and there's a phrase, when you prune an apple tree, and I didn't know this at the time, but you want to be able to throw your hat through the tree. That's a phrase. And so when you prune an apple tree, you want to prune it kind of from the inside out. You want the outer branches to be able to grow out, and you want to trim off all the inside stuff so that way when you look at the tree, you could take your hat and throw it through the tree. So I said, okay, I can do that. And it was a mangy tree anyway. The fruit wasn't very good. And so I started hacking away at that tree. I started cutting back that tree. And when I was done with it, I said, surely nothing is going to grow on that from now on. I just killed it. Well, give it a little time, and we kept watering that apple tree. That next apple season, that apple tree produced more fruit than we knew what to do with. It was insane, the amount of apples that tree grew. I mean, it was so bad. They were falling on the ground. There were so many apples, and they were actually good. You see, that tree, that little mangy, pathetic-looking tree, when it got the water and the pruning that it needed, it actually began to live its purpose. And its purpose of an apple tree, in case you don't know, is to produce apples. And that tree was very fruitful. It lived its purpose. You see, we as people are meant to live on purpose. And our purpose is to be connected first and foremost to God. And as we're connected to God, to be connected to each other. If you're just joining us this weekend, we're in week 3 of a series that we're calling Connected. And in a time that seems more chaotic and disconnected than ever, we really believe God is calling us as a church to be connected first and foremost to Him. And as we're connected to Him, then to be connected to each other. Jesus has been telling His disciples in the book of John that He was going to be leaving. At this point in John chapter 15, we're within hours of Jesus going to the cross. And he's been prepping his disciples. He's telling them, guys, I'm leaving. And they don't understand it. And he tells them in John 14 that he's not going to leave them alone. But Jesus wants to stay connected with them. And the way he was going to do that was by sending a helper that we saw last week, which is the Holy Spirit. And it's not just the Holy Spirit that's going to be with you. It's the Holy Spirit that will be in you. Jesus shows them that he is intentionally staying connected with them even though he was leaving. Yet we see a small shift in John chapter 15. And here's the big idea that we're going to see in John chapter 15 verses 1 through 11 is that staying connected to Jesus is where I find life. Staying connected to Jesus is where I find a significance in my life that goes far beyond my time here on the earth. The truth is, we all want to make an impact, don't we? We all want to have a significance that goes beyond just what I do here and now. And what we're going to see today is, in order to have that kind of thriving life, a life that makes impact far beyond our years, to live our purpose, it only happens as we stay connected to Jesus. So, John chapter 15 is where we're going to be. So go ahead and grab your Bibles. John chapter 15, it'll be on the screens there. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Verse 6. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my Father's commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Now, here's a basic Bible study principle. So if you are ever reading the Bible, one of the basic principles is if you ever see a repeated word, pay attention because the author is trying to communicate something to you. So we have 11 verses right here, and in 11 verses, Jesus says the word abide 10 times. Do you think he's trying to tell us something? I mean, here's the message in a nutshell, right? Jesus is telling us, he's going, listen, you're my disciples, you're my followers. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to abide with me. And if you don't know what to do, I want you to abide, 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 and abide. And if you're still unsure, I want you to abide, abide. And then if you don't know what to do after you've abided, then abide more and keep abiding. Another way to say the word abide is to say remain, as the NIV says, or stay connected to. So if we are to have the life that Jesus intends for us, to live our purpose, we need to understand what it means to stay connected to Jesus. And the first thing I want us to notice is this: staying connected to Jesus is active. I'm really glad that we are using the language of connected, because the word abide, that's such a church word, right? Do you ever use the word abide other than in church in John chapter 15 or 1 John? We don't use that word. And really, abide from the outset sounds a little bit passive. I don't really have to do anything, and I'm just going to abide with Jesus. But staying connected that Jesus is talking about here is active. Throughout the book of John, Jesus has been talking about the intimacy that he has had with his Father. He says things in the book of John like this. He says, I and the Father are one. He says, the Father, I am in the Father, and the Father, he's in me. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus has been making abundantly clear the special and close, the intimate relationship that Jesus has with his dad. But yet when we look at the scriptures, especially the gospels, we see that Jesus was very, very intentional about staying connected with his dad. In Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, Luke writes, but now even more the report about Jesus, him, went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Jesus, in the midst of the busyness of life, in the midst of the busyness of the ministry that he was doing, that was thriving, he would intentionally disappear. He would intentionally get away to stay connected with his dad, but to spend time with him in prayer, to spend time in solitude. He was intentional about staying connected to his Father. When I was a kid, my parents on occasion would come to us and my brother and I and say that we were going shopping, which as a kid you were like, no, that's the worst. But then they would say the name of the store. We are going to Sport Mart. Now, Sport Mart is very much like an Academy Sports or a Dick's Sporting Goods. And when you're 7, 8 years old and you are going to a sports store like that, it becomes a very, very good day. And so my parents would be like, hey, kids, we're going to Sport Mart. And it was about a half hour drive away. So it was like a trip when you're a kid. And so I was pumped. I would be so psyched because it's like they had everything. It was like a little kid's dream store. And so we would get into the parking lot, and I vividly remember my parents, almost every time we would get to the parking lot, they would say, now, David, stay with us. Stay with us. Don't wander off from us. Stay with us. Do you know what happened to those words as soon as I walked into that store? They were like water on a duck's back, gone. Because I would get into the store and I would start seeing all the baseball stuff. And I'm like, whoa, baseball stuff. And I'm like trying on all the really expensive gloves. I'm like, what, bats? And then I'm wandering over here. And then they had the clothes racks in the middle of the store. And you know the clothes racks that were like round, circular, and you'd hang on the shirts? I'm like, look, I can hide in here. And I would hide in there. And then next thing I know, I'm wandering through the store, and you know what I couldn't find? My parents. So what began as great fun, as a joyful day, instantly became panic. I'm lost. And then when you're a 7, 8-year-old boy, you still need to be tough enough that you don't want to go ask for help. You don't want to go to the store manager and be like, I can't find my parents. So I began searching, and I would wander the store, and I'm circling the store, and I'm panicked, and I'm thinking the worst, like my parents left me, like do my parents even really love me? They left me at Sport Mart. And then sure enough, I would always find them, but what once started out to be a great day ended up becoming very miserable for a period of time because I didn't actively stay connected to what my parents asked me to do. You see, Jesus comes here in John chapter 15, and having modeled an active pursuit of staying connected to God, he comes and he says something that benefits us. He says, I am, in verse 1, the true vine. I am the true vine. You see, vine imagery was very common for the Jewish hearers as they were familiar with vineyards, as well as the comparison of the Israelites in the Old Testament, that the Israelites in the Old Testament were the vine. And yet, In the Old Testament, when the Israelites were referred to as the vine, the vineyard that God had planted, it was almost always a pronouncement of judgment because they never produced the fruit that God intended them to produce. And now Jesus comes and he flips this vine image on its head and he says, I am the true vine. I have done something which you weren't able to do. I have taken your failures. I've taken where you didn't produce fruit, and I have redeemed them. And it's interesting in verse 1, where Jesus is the vine, the Father is the gardener, and we are the branches. Now, if you think about that imagery, Jesus is a vine, and we're connected to Jesus, and then you have the gardener. In a very real way, Jesus is the mediator between the gardener, the Father, and the branches, us. Jesus, as the mediator, as the true vine, has created a union with God. He's made possible a union with God for us that only happens through Christ. Do you see that imagery? Jesus did something for us that we can never do by ourselves. So we, by faith in Jesus, are the, as the Bible says, are in Christ. We are so connected to the vine that we are in him. So when God sees us, he sees us through the lens of Christ. And this connection to Jesus, this active connection, is the means for us to have the kind of intimacy that Jesus had with his Father. That kind of intimacy that Jesus had with his dad is available to us because of Jesus. The question is, will we adopt the life that Jesus lived? You see, friends, it's not wearing a WWJD bracelet. It's not walking around life going, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? It is being so connected to Jesus that our mind is transformed. So we don't ask the question, what would Jesus do? We naturally and instinctually do it. But Jesus had bodily practices in his life to stay actively connected to his dad. He would retreat in solitude and pray. He would memorize the scriptures. There were things that Jesus did to stay actively connected that created the intimacy with his dad. And if we want that kind of intimacy, then we need to stay actively connected by practicing the very same things that Jesus did in his life. Things such as solitude, which I have to confess, I hate solitude. I'm an extrovert. I want to be with people. Scripture memory. Jesus memorized scriptures. How did he answer temptation? He went away and prayed, which includes talking and listening. These are not an exhaustive list of practices, but when we adopt the life that Jesus lived in our lives by the power of the Spirit, we will grow in our connection to Jesus and have an intimacy with God that most of us long for, and truthfully, we're wired for. And what we'll see is that we actively stay connected to Jesus, your life will begin to produce fruit. The truth is that God cares about the fruit that your life produces. God has created us to produce a fruit in our lives that will have a lasting impact. We see it all through this passage. In verse 2, we see every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. He's saying, listen, if you're connected to me, you will bear fruit. And if you're not bearing fruit, you have to wonder, are you really connected to the vine? Are you really connected to the life-giving source that will produce fruit in your life? In verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The only way that we can bear fruit is staying connected to Christ. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You cannot produce the kind of fruit that will make a lasting impact on your own. Verse 8. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. God cares about fruit. And God desires that the fruit our life produces is it's only produced as we stay connected to him. You see, Jesus was using a common imagery, a vine, to make a point. Jesus says, listen, unless, in the case of a vineyard, a vine, unless you stay connected to me, you will never produce grapes. It's like my Charlie Brown Christmas tree right here. Doesn't this look like kind of like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree? Like we need one, like a little, anyway. You see, this is a type of spruce tree. It's a pine type tree. And the fruit that these kind of things produce is what? It produces pine cones. And there's actually a couple on here somewhere. They're right here. They're little baby little pine cones. But if I come over here and I grab, let's say, this one right here. This tree is brought to you by the nursery right across the street. Did you know you can rent a tree for $15 a weekend? Now, that's true. And if you want this tree, which we might end up buying this tree because I'm kind of hacking it each service. So I'm pruning it, right? And so $65, it could be yours. I cut this branch off, and now that I cut this branch off, will this branch, and this is not a rhetorical question, I want participation here, will this branch ever have a pine cone grow on it? No. Why? It's not connected. This branch, what is this branch good for now? Maybe a table decoration for a few hours, and it's full of sap, and it actually smells pretty good. It reminds me of Christmas time. But this branch is no longer good for anything. Why? Because it's been cut off. And so we can have all the smartest people. We can come around and gather around this branch, and we can wish and we can hope, but this branch will never produce any more fruit. Actually, this branch, all that is going to happen to it is it's going to wither and it will die because it is no longer connected to the tree. You see, Jesus uses this imagery and he says, listen, apart from me, you can do nothing. The truth is, just like this branch actually can do some stuff for a little while. This branch actually will stay green for a little while, and you can use it as decoration. You can use it to make it smell good in places. You can use it for a few things, and it will stay green for a little while, but the truth is that it will not produce any more fruit. It will not live for long, because apart from the tree, it can do nothing by itself. And Jesus says, listen, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you will never produce fruit in your life that will make a lasting impact that goes beyond your life here and now. Church, we have to stay connected. Jesus then goes on to say that if you are connected and there is some fruit in your life, then he's going to prune you so that you will be even more fruitful. Just like my old apple tree that I had at my house, God, who is the expert gardener, comes into our lives and prunes the things in our life that will allow us to become even more fruitful. And in the time of pruning, let's just be honest, pruning is not comfortable. It's not something that we go, yes, bring on another round, Jesus, I want some more. We don't love pruning, but it's in pruning that we grow. It's in his expert pruning that we have more fruit for our lives, in our lives. It seems like a crazy thing, but God prunes us out of his love for us. So when the hard things in life come, the diagnosis isn't what you were hoping or praying for. I know there's a lot of people, especially in the midst of the season that we're in, are walking through a lot of relational difficulties. Maybe there's been a loss of a job or income. Can I just tell you, this doesn't mean that you are outside of God's plan. You might be in a season of pruning. In the cutting back, we can be even more fruitful. We have to stay actively connected to Jesus. And as we stay connected to Jesus, fruit will begin to grow in our lives. And that fruit, he'll prune us to become even more fruitful. And the fruit he's talking about is found in verses 9 through 11. And the first, when we are connected to Jesus, we will see that our love grows. Do you see it there in verses 9 and 10? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I've heard it said that when we come to faith in Jesus, we love Jesus because of what he can do for us. I mean, isn't that just kind of true? He saves us. I love you because of that. But as we stay connected to Jesus and as we mature in his love and as we experience more of his love for us, then we begin to love Jesus not because of what he can do for us, but because of who he is. And when we're connected to Jesus, who is the embodiment of perfect love, then his love begins to grow in us, and we become like him. And we not only have a love for him, but we also find ourselves loving others in the way in which he does. And as we grow in our love for Christ, then we begin to delight in the things that he commands, for we find life in obedience to Christ. Now, that doesn't seem to make sense. But in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And this is true. Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light when our obedience isn't out of obligation, but out of love. So I would contend that if we have an obedience problem to Jesus, if we have trouble being obedient to the things that he asks us to do, it stems from a deeper issue of a love problem. Because I'm convinced when we grow in our love and affections for Christ, it will straighten out our obedience. Dallas Willard, passed away several years ago, says it well in his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines. He says this, "True Christ-likeness, true companionship with Christ, which means learning to love and being like Jesus, comes at the point where it is hard not to respond as he would." If this is true, then I have to ask, what are the things in your life which stir your love and affections for Christ? What are those things in your life that when you do them, you feel connected to Jesus? What are those practices that make you feel connected to Jesus? I know in my life, I feel connected to Jesus as I experience him in nature, and I experience him primarily in nature. There's something holy about sunsets over water for me. I used to live right on the West Coast, and I would see the sun go down over the Pacific Ocean, and that was a holy experience. Now in East Tennessee, if I can be out on the lake when that sun's going down and that sun sets over the waters and you see the colors over the mountains and the sun reflecting off the water, that's a holy experience. And it stirs my affections for Christ. There's holiness in a mountain breeze as it dances through the trees. There's holiness as I look upon a waterfall. My affections for Jesus are stirred as I have meaningful conversations with those people who are close to me. The reality is that each and every one of us has things in our lives that stir our connection, our love for Jesus. Here's a simple instruction: do those things more. If it stirs your love for Jesus, do it. And the reverse of that is true. If this takes away my affections for Jesus and it doesn't stir my love for him, cut those things out. And I will tell you, there's going to be two things that will be constant in all of our lives. There might be different practices that stir our love and affections for Jesus, but there should be two constants, the Word of God and prayer. Those are two things that each and every one of us must have in our lives. Now, whether we read the Word of God, whether we memorize some scripture, and as we're out in nature, whatever it is for you, do those things more. And finally, we see that as we are actively connected to Christ and producing fruit, then we will experience joy. You see it right there in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy, the joy of Jesus, may be in you, and that your joy, our joy, may be full. God is concerned about our joy. God is concerned about our happiness. And if we're honest, Jesus was a joyful guy, wasn't he? How do I know this? Because if you read in the scriptures, kids wanted to be around Jesus. Kids don't want to be around the grumpy old dude, right? They just don't. They want to be around somebody that has that spark in their eye, that little twinkle. And Jesus had that. The kids ran to him. Jesus was invited to weddings. Now, he wasn't just invited to family weddings, because you have to invite family to weddings. Even when you don't want to invite that guy to your wedding, if he's family, you got to invite him. But if he's not family, guess what? You don't have to invite that guy. But they invited Jesus. Why? Because they liked him around. Why? Because he was fun. Jesus was able to take 12 rugged fishermen and get them to follow him. Why? Because there was something about Jesus that was enticing. There was a joy that he had. And the truth is that we take our branch and we try to find joy, we try to find happiness in life by plugging it into other things in life. And we connect it to money. If I just have enough money, if I stay connected that way, then maybe I can begin to produce fruit. And the thing is, for a little while, it might work. But there's no real lasting fruit. And we begin to wither and we begin to die. And we begin to wonder, that's not where I'm going to find happiness. Maybe I'll find it in relationships. I'm going to plug my branch into the tree of relationships, to the vine of relationships. And then pretty soon we go, that made me happy for a little while. And it seems like there's a little bit of fruit. But then next thing you know, you see these things and we begin to not produce fruit. And we begin to wither and die. And Jesus says the only way that you will find true satisfaction and true happiness in life, true joy in life, in the midst of the hard, in the midst of the ugly, in the midst of the painful, in the midst of the good, the only way that you will find true joy is when you are connected to me, and I will satisfy the deepest desires of your life. So both in the pruning and in the joy, we can truly experience the life God intends us to live. And it only happens as we stay actively connected to Jesus. So as we look into this week with some next steps, I'm going to ask the bands in all our venues to come out. And we get to ask the Holy Spirit some questions. And I love that we can ask the Holy Spirit some questions. And I'm going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit three questions this week and ask him to bring to things some mind. The first question is this: how has pruning in your past helped you to grow? We've all experienced pruning. And the good thing is, it's not a constant pruning. We prune and then we grow. And then we get pruned and then we grow. Because if we're able to look at the pruning in our past, then it can give us courage to face the pruning that we might be walking through right now. The second question that I want the Holy Spirit to ask to bring to mind: when was there a time you've experienced joy by being connected to Jesus? When was there a time where you just felt alive as you were connected to Jesus? Maybe it was in the stillness of a sunset and you knew it was a holy moment. Maybe it was at a camp when you just experienced the joy of the Lord overwhelm you. When was there a time that you experienced joy by being connected to Jesus? And here's the thing, I want us to broaden just even a little bit today, that we can experience the holiness of God. Yes, as we sit and study scripture, yes, and as we pray, we can experience the holiness and joy of God as we're out on the lake. We can do it as we're on a hike. We can do it as we're having a good conversation with people. When have you experienced that joy? Count it. And finally, what makes you feel most connected to Jesus? What are those things that stir your love and affections for Jesus? And I'm going to ask you to go to a step further. I'm going to ask you to pick one of those things and this week, schedule it. Put it in your calendar, because anything of value, we schedule, don't we? You don't show up to a doctor and go, hey, I need an appointment today. They go, well, did you schedule it? No, I didn't. Then they say, we don't have room for you today. If it's of value, we schedule it. If going on a hike stirs your love and affection for Jesus, schedule it. If it's a worship playlist, schedule a time to make that playlist and then sing it at the top of your lungs, even if you have a terrible voice in your car. Friends, we need to stay actively connected. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you model for us what it looks like to stay connected to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the vine, that you are the mediator, and because of that, you open a way for us to have an intimacy with you that we would never do on our own, that we would never be capable of, but you open that way, that as we actively are connected to you, that we can cry, Abba, Father, just like you did. And so, Jesus, for those things in our lives that we feel alive, that we feel connected to you, may we intentionally practice those more and more so that we can stay connected to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Church, I want to invite you to stand.